Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to answer your mailbag questions. And so for that, we bring in our friend, who is the editor over at JetNation.com, Mr. Glenn Naughton. Glenn, what's up, brother?
You know, Scott, same as it's been for the past few weeks and same as it'll be for the next few weeks, doing nothing but watching film, looking at the Jets' depth chart, who fits where, and what might they do come draft time.
The draft just sneaks up on you, and it feels like because the Jets are always embroiled in something in the offseason, it really sneaks up on you if you're a Jets fan, because last year, all the Rodgers stuff was hanging over everything. Then this year, they were making all these moves, some of which were unexpected. Now, the draft is only a couple of weeks away, so a lot of questions about that, and we will start with Johnny Ova. He asks, at 10, since there are only a few tackles that could possibly be there that would play on the left side, do you think Joe Douglas would opt for a playmaker over players that are limited to just the right side? For example, taking Odunze or Bowers over Fuaga, etc.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, I've been going back and forth with on Twitter with quite a few folks. And I'm honestly surprised, Scott. Like, the number of Jets fans who are saying they would be happy to draft a guy who might only play four or five games this year. And, you know, but you get these folks, well, we know he's going to be starting by week three. Like, do we? Is that what happened in Dallas last year? Was Tyron Smith on IR for the rest of the year after week three? I don't think he was. And I think that is where the emphasis has to be with Joe Douglas. You need to win now. You need to find a player who can play now. So will he go offensive tackle? Even being the guy, you know, the O-line guru that the reputation he has, even with that being the case, I would be shocked if he took a guy with the 10th pick who was not going to, where the expectation is anything other than day one impact player. Whether, I don't care what position, it's got to be a guy who is going to play from day one and who's going to contribute from day one. If he takes a tackle, because really what you're doing is you're taking that tackle and then hoping like hell that that guy doesn't see the field this year, because that will mean Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses stayed healthy and you expect them to play the level they're accustomed to. That would be a great thing for the Jets. But I can't see them drafting a guy and saying our ideal scenario for our number 10 pick this year is that he doesn't see the field. I just couldn't imagine them doing that. So I think it, as you've said it, I've said it, it's more about adding an immediate contributor than it is worrying about who's going to be playing left tackle 2 years from now when you know, if, or right tackle, as you say, could be either spot. Who's your tackle going to be in 2 years? Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, they do not have the luxury of looking for, I know Joe Douglas said it. Yeah. We're drafting guys for the future too, which you are in the sense that you want these guys to hang around for a while, but for what their role will be in 2024, it has to be a guy who sees the field.
Glenn, I think it's a different situation if the Jets had Zach Wilson and he had worked out, right? He's 24 years old. He's the quarterback of the future. This team is driving forward, and they can take a tackle who maybe won't play this year or only plays a few games, and he's the guy that's going to protect Zach Wilson for the long term. But when you have Aaron Rodgers and you have to treat every year that you have with him like it could be your last, and you have no succession plan, and you have a general manager and a coach on the hot seat, I think it makes way more sense to take a wide receiver or tight end, somebody who could impact things right away. Now, that said, I wouldn't completely rule out Joe Douglas taking an offensive lineman if he ends up being in a situation where he can't get a good deal to trade out and the playmakers he really likes are gone, or he has a tackle rated way above one of those playmakers. But I think if you're Douglas, it makes a lot of sense, given the situation, because everything is situational, to lean towards taking one of those guys that could jump in and play right away and not be a very expensive investment in a contingency plan, because that's essentially what you'd be getting with an offensive lineman at number 10. Next question comes in from Sean Stalker. He says, last year's draft footage showed that the Jets had Michael Mayer in their minds at number 15, of course, Michael Mayer, the tight end out of Notre Dame, who wound up going to the Raiders and who actually caught the game-winning touchdown against the Jets when the Raiders played the Jets in Vegas this past year. Considering Bowers is a far superior prospect, does this increase the likelihood of Douglas taking him at 10? I think it's certainly something worth talking about, and it's not getting talked about enough. Glenn, we've discussed this. Not only is Bowers not just a tight end, you hear all the time how the Jets have a full tight end room. They've got Tyler Conklin. They've got Jeremy Ruckert. They've got Kenny Eboa. And so why would they take a tight end? Well, they had the same exact tight end room last year, and they still almost picked Michael Mayer at number 15. They went with Will McDonald instead, but Mayer was right there on the short list. What it comes down to here is that Brock Bowers, in addition to not just being a typical tight end, he's a guy that we've outlined can play all over the place and do many, many different things and create a ton of different mismatches for the opposing defense. Fans are also viewing the tight end room, I think, a lot different than the coaches, the scouts, and the front office do. Because if they were willing to take Michael Mayer at 15 last year, as Sean says, no reason to think that what they have at tight end would cause them to bypass Brock Bowers. Now, they may not take Brock Bowers, but I don't think it's going to be because of Kenny Eboa, who is due $200,000 guaranteed or something along those lines. And if he's gone or he's on the practice squad, nobody's going to really care that much. And Jeremy Ruckert, who has 159 yards receiving for his career, and as far as I can tell, showed more at fullback than he did at tight end. Conklin, a good tight end, no question, but you can have him and Bowers on the field together plenty. And let's also not forget Tyler Conklin going into the final year of his contract. So this is one of those situations where Bowers could help you right away and also be a long-term solution for you. Tyler Conklin, a good tight end, but nothing more than that. Probably around league average, maybe slightly above. Definitely much better than the tight ends the Jets have had in recent years, but not a reason to not draft Brock Bowers. And as I said, even if you love Tyler Conklin, he and Bowers could play together plenty on the field and create mismatches together. So yeah, I do think that the Jets almost picking Michael Mayer last year lends some credence to the possibility that the Jets could be interested in picking Brock Bowers at number 10 this year, depending on how the board breaks.
Yeah, I've gone through this a million different times, Scott, because I've been on the Bowers train for a while. I said to someone the other day, I wanted Bowers to be the Jets' first round pick. The Jets' 2024 first-round pick, when I watched him as a freshman, I thought, man, when this guy comes out, hopefully the Jets can grab him. And I've yet to hear a good argument as to why the Jets can't take him. You know, I've heard a lot of the stuff you're saying. Well, they already have a tight end. He's more than a tight end. They already have Conklin. Okay, he can play at the same time as Conklin, and he's better than Conklin. He can line up in the slot. They can line up in 12 personnel, whatever it takes. You can play both of them at the same time. You know, they need an offensive tackle. We've gone over that. They have two starters. You don't draft a guy who you're hoping doesn't play with the 10th overall pick. So every single argument I've heard against Bowers holds no water. Now, if you want to say to me, I prefer a receiver, I prefer Malik Nabers, I want a guy who runs a 4-3, fine, there's an argument to be made. And I will not be one bit unhappy if they get Malik Nabers. I saw your tweet earlier, Scott, you know, trade down to get Brian Thomas. I would be ecstatic with that. Brian Thomas, another guy who runs in the 4-3s, he's got outstanding balance, he's got great hands. Like, fine, get like you can make a case for those guys. I just like Bowers because of the fact, and for whatever reason, people say he can't block. He can block. I'm not saying he's Orlando Pace, but as far as tight ends go, he's going to be a solid blocker in the run game. And the versatility, the fact he can win on the boundary, he can win on out of the slot, you can line him up at H-back. There's so many different ways you can get creative with him and keep him on the field and not have to take him off, you know, as you do with some tight ends who won't stick their face in the fan and aren't willing to try to become good blockers. Bowers does everything you need him to do. You know, the article you posted that we've discussed, his yards after catch were higher than all the top receivers. So I'm kind of done defending it because I've still yet to hear a good argument. And most of what I hear is from people who, if you're going to keep referring to him as just a tight end, it just tells me you haven't watched him play. So why am I having this conversation with someone who's so passionate about something they've not been paying attention to? So absolutely, if they were going to take Mayer, you absolutely consider Bowers, who is the far better prospect.
And as we've talked about before, Glenn, the people that are saying, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like to throw to tight ends or he won't give him the ball. If you think for 1 second that the Jets would make an investment like that in a tight end at number 10 or a receiver at number 10, any weapon that Aaron Rodgers would potentially have to work with without going to Aaron Rodgers and getting his blessing, I don't know what to tell you. You clearly haven't been paying attention to the way the power dynamics work in the organization if you think that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have to be on board with a pick of Bowers or any pass catcher.
No matter who they take.
Exactly. Yes. Of course, Aaron Rodgers would have to be on board. So if the Jets pick Bowers, relax, because it would have been done with the express approval of Aaron Rodgers. Next question comes in from Michael Palace. He says, who's the ideal quarterback after round number 3? It really depends on who's on the board. So there's a couple of names we've talked about. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be there after round 3, because now it goes with quarterbacks. Sometimes these guys go a little bit higher than you're expecting. The 3 names we've discussed several times, Glenn, are Jordan Travis from Florida State. He's a player that showed a lot of potential, has the injury, so he can sit for a year or two behind Aaron Rodgers, learn, and then maybe eventually get an opportunity. Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, a guy whose biggest weakness is making some boneheaded decisions, but you can fix that. What he can do can't be taught, and he put up some really nice numbers in the SEC. A couple of years ago, a lot of people thought he was going to be the number 1 overall pick, and then everything spiraled out of control after Lincoln Riley left, and he fell out of favor at Oklahoma. He transferred, but still put up a really nice year with South Carolina. So for a guy that you could pick in the mid-rounds, he's somebody you might be able to get. The Jets were just at Tulane's pro day. Michael Pratt, the quarterback there, is a possibility if he's on the board in the 4th round. Glenn, you had a clip up on your Twitter account showing just how tough he is. So those are 3 names I would think about. And then later on, I've talked about Devin Leary from Kentucky and Carter Bradley from South Alabama as maybe 7th round flyers or perhaps even undrafted free agents. So those are the names that I would say make the most sense for the Jets after round 3 if they're available.
Yeah, and the thing there, Scott, that it's almost a little concerning, right? Because after those top guys, like after Michael Penix goes, there's a huge gap, you know, in the projections of guys like Rattler, Pratt, and Travis we keep mentioning. Because after those 3, there's not really a guy, at least to me, you know, some people say Joe Milton, who I thought, you know, look, I was big on a big Joe Milton guy going into this year. He didn't play as well as I thought he would. Now, granted, his receivers, he lost some guys, and they didn't have a great receiving core that they've had. You know, over the year or two before that. But as I overheard somebody discussing Joe Milton while I was at the Senior Bowl, and they said nobody makes a bad throw look prettier than Joe Milton. And he makes a lot of bad throws. He makes a lot of mistakes. That's not to say it can't be corrected, but I guess with Milton, I just, as a fan, I was hoping to see more from him this year and didn't. So it's like, yeah, you've got Rattler, you've got Pratt, you've got Travis. I probably like Travis the most out of all of them, even though you look at the mocks and the big boards, he's probably the lowest rated guy. But I feel like he's got the experience winning at a big program, beating major programs. I think his arm is better than Pratt. To be fair, though, I haven't seen as much of Pratt as I have Travis, so it may be the case that Pratt does have a better arm. I think what I liked about Pratt, and it may be the reason why I'm questioning the arm strength, really good touch pass. Like, the number of times you see him drop it in the bucket over a defender into his receiver, you know, so good accuracy, and he throws with good touch and anticipation. But beyond those guys, you are getting into late day three, the Carter Bradleys, maybe the Sam Hartman, who didn't look great in Mobile, but he's a player that a lot of people had projected earlier than round six or seven, and now he seems to be dropping. But you mentioned Devin Leary, Jason Bean. Jason Bean's a guy I've mentioned. Maybe you take him as an undrafted flyer. He's an older guy, 25 or 26 out of Kansas, but he's played in a bunch of different systems and with what limited playing time he has. And I've seen a couple of other commentators say that he's a guy that, because of his lack of playing time and his age, he's getting slept on. He'd be more of a developmental, like, probably ceiling is probably a backup. But if you're looking at, you know, hopefully a future starter, the three guys that we've continually touched on, Rattler, Pratt, and Travis.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from DMR Mets. He says, to celebrate opening day, and I know you guys are both stinky Yankees fans, LOL, give us your favorite opening day baseball story. So yes, I am a big Yankee fan. However, my favorite opening day story involves the Mets, because I used to go to opening day for the Mets every year because Shea Stadium was much closer to where I was living at the time and it was easier to get Mets tickets. So I used to go every year to Mets opening day, and I was fortunate enough to be in attendance for opening day 1993, April 5th, at Shea Stadium over 30 years ago now. And I say fortunate because it was the very first game in the history of the Colorado Rockies franchise David Need, who was the number one pick in the expansion draft, started that game for the Rockies. Yeah, you remember that? Talk about a blast from the past, Glenn. Oh, my goodness. David Need. He actually had an okay outing. He gave up a home run to Bobby Bonilla in the fifth inning of that game. But Dwight Gooden, and this was one of the last really good games that I remember him pitching for the Mets, threw a complete game shutout for the Mets that day, and they won 3-0. But I'll never forget being there to see the very first game of a new MLB franchise, and thinking about it 30-plus years later is amazing. Like I said, there are certain things that you're just not going to be in attendance for all that often, and the first ever game for a new franchise, especially one that lasts this long, is something that very few people can say that they had the experience of being at.
Yeah, for me, listen, I don't follow baseball anymore, but from the late 80s up into the early 2000s, or, 2005, 6, 7, whatever it was, I used to eat, sleep, and drink baseball. I lost interest over the years, but I remember going to opening day, Yankees, Red Sox, and, there's always the optimism of opening day, and back then the Yankees could never pitch. Like, if they had a guy who could finish 500, you were ecstatic. They'd always add these guys who the hopes would be higher than reality. But going to and watching the Yankees beat the Red Sox on opening day with Scott Sanderson going head to head with Roger Clemens and coming out on top. And, I was a teenager. I was walking out of there probably feeling a lot higher than I should have been about that team and thinking maybe they would, maybe this year the Yankees would be able to pitch. And of course, they never could. I think that was the 92 season, if I'm not mistaken. But it's for being there, as a teenager and the optimism. Someone actually asked me the other day. We're talking about how your sense of smell is most closely related with old memories. Mm-hmm. And someone asked me, they said, is there a particular smell that makes you think of something? And I said, sometimes when I smell fresh cut grass, I think of walking through the tunnel to my seats at Yankee Stadium as a kid, because that fresh cut grass smell would hit you. And it was like, to me at that age, that was absolute heaven. There was nothing better than sitting in the right field bleachers before they numbered them and told you where to sit. Apparently that's a thing now. But when you used to just go out to the bleachers, sit where you want and spend the day watching Yankees baseball.
That's like me every time I smell buttered popcorn. I feel like I'm in a movie theater.
yeah, exactly.
Next question comes in from White Rabbit Records. He says, if you had to go off on a rant about useless talking heads and anti-Jet stories, would this week's be aimed at NFL Network's Colleen Wolf or Colin Cowherd? Please feel free to rant. Glenn, I'm about to say something that's probably not going to be popular, but I'm going to say it anyway. I actually am not mad at Colleen Wolf at all, and I thought that the way she handled things in the aftermath of the mistake were about as good as you could have hoped for. She said something that she had heard. She's not a reporter. She was just in the middle of doing a show and sort of blurted it out in the context of doing that show. And then afterwards, it was disputed, and she probably talked to a couple of other people who were there. And it sounds like maybe it was a misunderstanding. Maybe the person she spoke to saw it as a contentious exchange. Everybody else there didn't, or several other people didn't. And so she came out and said, listen, this is what happened. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I apologize. I think that's commendable. Most of the time, these people don't apologize. They make a mistake and they just go on with their lives as if nothing ever happened. Colleen Wolf did her best to own the mistake and take accountability for it. And it's not like she has some history of doing this, either league-wide or with the Jets. If somebody could point me to a bunch of times where she's came out and made scandalous claims about the Jets that turned out to not be true, I'd love to see it. But as far as I know, this is the first time anything like that's ever happened, and she corrected it and apologized. I'm not sure what else it is she's supposed to do. Now, Colin Cowherd, on the other hand, has a documented history of doing this about everyone and everything, and plenty of times with the New York Jets. I don't bother getting mad at anything he says anymore, though, because I just take it as the joke that it is. Half the time, I'm convinced that he's just saying things to say them. He, of course, also always pretends like things that he said in the past that were ridiculously wrong, he didn't say. And he takes like 8 different positions on every issue so that he could point back and say, see, I was right, even though he also took 7 other positions that were wrong. So he's obviously far more embarrassing, but that's his brand. And that's what's gotten him to the point where he's making millions of dollars to be this clown. And so on the one hand, obviously, he deserves criticism, but on the other hand, I'd rather just ignore him because we know what he is, we know what he's doing, and it's just not worth getting upset about him.
Yeah, Colin Cowherd, I haven't listened to in years, and he really is, he just says what he has to say that he thinks he's going to get. I don't even know what he believes. I mean, I think he takes the 10 positions, and whichever one is right is the one he'll remind you of. But we don't know which one he actually believes, because he just, his thing is get people to retweet my takes. So that's why he's got to say ridiculous stuff. That's what he does. Colleen Wolf, 100% agree. Somebody messaged me yesterday with a screenshot of her apology, and just kind of saying like, oh, look, you know, she fessed up or whatever. And I said almost verbatim what you said. I said, listen, it's 2024. And a journalist got something wrong and apologized. Like, when else do we see that in media nowadays? As you said, Scott, what they report, they just want to be first. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. And if they're proven wrong, they just pretend it never happened. Or they blame somebody else. The fact that someone said, I said this and it was wrong, I'm sorry. I was like, well, good on her. Like, what an example. That used to be the norm in media. Like, as a kid, as a teenager, I remember every now and then you'd hear or see a retraction where somebody would say, the other day I said this, we've looked further, turns out I was wrong, I apologize, and that was it. But that doesn't happen anymore. Everything is about, well, that's what I was told, so I stand by it, or I'm not going to print a retraction because this, that, or the other thing. So I have zero issue. And you know, the other part you mentioned, and I thought to myself, I don't ever recall hearing this woman's name associated with any, you know, any false rumors in the past. So this isn't a reputational thing. There's not a trend here. She got something wrong and said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get mad at that.
And listen, if she does things like this again in the future and didn't learn from what happened here, then we can revisit this discussion. But for now, I think the fact that she owned up to it and apologized is the best that you could do in this situation. I'm not really sure what else she could have possibly done. Glenn Naughton, editor, JetNation.com. Thank you so much for coming on and answering some mailbag questions with me. Really appreciate it. Make sure you check out everything that Glenn is doing over at JetNation.com and listen to him on Jet Nation Radio with Dylan Terriman. Check out everything we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com and be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.